We're on Dalid Amid Aleph, the first line where it starts to get wider, third word on the line where it says Rav Chinana Bar Papa. One of the topics we were discussing yesterday was God's attribute of justice. So the Gemara today begins with a teaching on this subject, Rav Chinana Bar Papa Rami. Chinana Bar Papa pointed out what appears to be a contradiction in the Psukim. For on the one hand, Ksiv, it's written in Eov, Pasuk there says, Shakai lo mitzanuhu sagi choach. The Pasuk testifies that we do not find that God will bring his full power to bear on the people. Rather, Hashem tempers his justice with mercy. On the other hand, though, Ksiv says in Tehillim Kufmem Zayin, Godol Adonenu virav koach. God has great power, like it implies that God even displays that great power, Uksiv. And also it's written in Meshalach, in the Oz Yashir song, Yeminucha Hashem Nadori Bakoach. Your right hand, Hashem, is glorious in its power, which again implies that God will bring the full extent of his power to bear. That is, that it's not, tempered, it's not mitigated, as the Pasuk in Eov implies. It appears to be a contradiction. But if Chinana answers, Lokash, really it's not a problem, there's no contradiction here, for the answer is, Kan Mishas Adin. Here in Eov, where it says Hashem tempers his power with mercy, it's referring to in a time of judgment. Even though according to strict judgment, the people being punished might deserve a very severe punishment, however, Lo Mitzanu Sagi Choach. Hashem withholds his full power and minimizes the punishment with mercy. Whereas, Kan Mishas Mochama. Here the other psukim, referring to in a time of battle, when God wages battle on behalf of his people, Klal Yisrael, then Hashem does not hold back his power. For instance, during the Melchama against the Egyptians at the time of the Exodus, it was considered a battle between Klal Yisrael and the Mitzrim. In that instance, Hashem did not hold back and completely vanquished the enemy. Mar brings another drasha along these lines, Rabbi Chama bar Rabbi Chanina Rami. Chama, the son of Rabbi Chanina, asked the following contradiction, Ksiv. On one hand, it says in Sefer Yeshaya, Chema Einli, Hashem says, I have no wrath. I don't, display a divine wrath, a divine anger. But Uksiv, no Chema Hashem, Uval Chema. But says in Sefer Nachum, that God takes revenge and God is Bal Chema. Sometimes God will be full of Chema, full of wrath. So how do we reconcile these psukim? The Gemara answer is Lo Kasha. It's not a problem for Kan be Yisrael. The first pasuk refers to how God is toward Yisrael. Hashem doesn't have wrath toward Yisrael, but Kan Bovde Kochavim. The other pasuk refers to the way God will deal with the Ovdei Kochavim, the idolaters. For them, God will display his full wrath. Gemara suggests a different possible answer of Chinana Bar Papa Omar. Says this is how we reconcile the psukim. Both psukim are referring to Yisrael. This is what that first pasuk Yeshaya means. This is the reading. Hashem there says, Chema Ein Li. Even though, as indicated in the second pasuk in Nachum, Hashem is Bal Chema. Hashem really, by rights, according to strict justice, has every right to be full of wrath. And the people have induced his wrath. But Hashem says in Yeshaya, nevertheless, Chema Ein Li. I don't actually put that wrath on display. Why not? Shekfar Nishabati, because I have already sworn not to destroy Klal Yisrael. I swore to the forefathers, to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and this people shall be my people forever. And so I will not destroy the vineyard, which is the metaphor there for Klal Yisrael. And the pasuk there continues with the words, Mi Yitneni, if only someone would give me, that is, release me from the oath. If someone would but release me from the oath, Hashem says, as it were, Shelo Nishbati. If somebody would say to me that you're no longer bound by the oath, Hashem, then then I would have been. And then, quoting again from the Pasuk, it says there, Shomir Vishayis. I would have turned this vineyard, this people, it would have been left just a bunch of weeds and thorns. It would have been destroyed. It would have displayed my Chema, my wrath. But I swore to the Avos not to destroy them, therefore I shall not. That's Rav Chinana Bar Papa's reading of the Pasuk. Yesterday, the Gemara stated an idea that Hashem does not bo bebatrunyo im briosav, that is, God does not find an excuse to go and punish people. The opposite, Hashem will seek, if there's any way possible, to avoid punishing people. So the Gemara says about this concept of Hainu Domer Rabbi Lachzandri. This is the underlying idea in the following teaching of Rabbi Lachzandri, who said as follows, Mai Dechsiv. What is the meaning of this pasuk in Zechariah, which says, Vayoba Yomahu Avakesh Lahashmid es Kol HaGoyim? It will be on that day that Avakesh, I will seek, almost like God's asking someone's permission, to destroy all of the nations that come to attack Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Lachzandri asks, Avakesh, Mimi, who exactly is God seeking a permission from? What is it that is holding back Hashem from punishing the other nations, from destroying them? Lachzandri explains, Amra Kadosh Baruch Hu, what Hashem's saying here is, Avakesh minigoni shalahem. You must first consult the records, the chronicles, which contains all of the deeds of these people. Im yesh lam schus, if they have some merit of them, I'll redeem them. I won't destroy them. V'imlav hashmideh. But if, you know, I have no choice, so to speak, they have no merits at all, then I have no choice, I'll destroy them. So this is another instance where Hashem is not Baba Trinuyam Briyosav, he's not trying to punish people. It is only when the people steadfastly refuse to repent, then Hashem, as it were, has no choice but to punish them. Now it's clear from this teaching that, you know, once Hashem reaches the decision that there's no longer any hope for these people and they must be punished, then those people are met with God's full wrath, and like in the example above, they are totally destroyed. So the Gemara, you know, discusses this point further. V'hainu di'omer Rava. This is like what Rava said. Mai dechsev. Rava commented on the pasuk in Iyov. What's the meaning of this pasuk? It says, Ach lo v'yishlach yad im befido lohen shua. God should not send forth his hand to punish them, to destroy them, you know, completely. Rather, im befido lohen shua. If it is done befido, talk about this term fid, then shua, then there shall be a salvation. So what does this mean? Rava explains, Zarmalana Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Hashem said here to Yisrael, Kishani Danes Yisrael, Einani Dan Osam Kiov de Kochav. When I judge you, Yisrael, it's different than the way I judge the other nations, the idolaters. The Chsiv. Regarding the idolaters, the Pasuk in Yecheskel says, Avo, Avo, Avo Asimena. They have sinned, therefore I will turn into ruins. So it seems that Rashi is understanding here that this is referring to the other nations. But Marsha says that the simple reading of the pasuk appears to be referring actually to the Jewish people, to Yerushalayim. And so he actually understands that this pasuk is clarifying this concept here of this specific way that God punishes Israel, and that is that it's done gradually. Like it says here, Ava, 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 like little by little, for each little sin, you know, quick punishment right away, rather than allowing the sins to accumulate. That is, Ela ni nifra mehen kifid shel tanagolas. That's the language here in Iyov of fid, is language of pecking, like the hen pecks away at something. So it is with the way God punishes Yisrael, these special people. God will punish them in, you know, quick, short bursts, rather than bringing his full fury upon them once the sins have accumulated greatly, which is to their benefit. Regarding the other nations, as we saw in the example above, Hashem, you know, once it's a point of no return, Hashem will bring upon them his full fury. A different possible reading of this pasuk in Iyov Davar Acher, another interpretation, is that this is what the pasuk is saying. Afilo ein Yisrael osin mitzvah lefanai ki'im me'at. Hashem says, even if Yisrael, he does a small amount of mitzvahs before me, kifid shel tarnagolin shemenakin be'ashpa, like the hens who peck away a little bit in a pile of garbage, still I take into account every little bit that they do, and ani mitzarfan l'cheshbin gadol, and I combine all of it until it's something significant. We have this large aggregate. That's another reading of the pasuk. The Gemara interprets some other words in that pasuk there. It says, Lohen shua. It says, for them there will be shua, salvation. So the Gemara says, from the fact that it used this unusual form of shua to express salvation, we learn the pasuk is saying here, B'schar shemishavin lefonai, as a reward for their praying before me, that's the merit for which I will save them. So the Gemara is connecting this term shua to the similar term of shavin, the sense of praying, to cry out, to daven before me. More continues on this idea, Hashem will punish Klal Yisrael incrementally. This is what Rabbi Abba is saying too. My dechsiv, he asked, you know, what's the meaning of the following pasuk in Hosea, which says, V'anochi efdeim v'hema dibru alai k'zavim. Hashem says, I would redeem them, but they say lies about me. Rabbi Abba explains, this is what Hashem is saying here. Ani amarti efdeim b'mamonam ba'olam hazeh. I said, I was trying to save them by putting them slowly but surely into the hands of other nations who would extort them, take their money away. That would serve as their punishment in this world, k'deish yizkul olam haba, order so that they will merit Olam Abba, they'll merit the next world, the world of eternity, because their sins will have been cleansed over time with this gradual suffering at the hands of the other nations extorting their money. What was their reaction? They did not trust me and recognize that I was acting in their best interest. Rather, they said lies about me and essentially denied my guiding hand in the events of the world. So how could I redeem them now if this is their reaction, this is their attitude? Where brings a similar idea. So what is the meaning of the following pasuk in Hosea, where it says, "Vani yisarti chizakti zro som v'yelai yechashvu ra." Shem says, I've caused them suffering, and I've strengthened their arms, but they attribute evil to me. They think evil of me. So Papi, in the name of Rava, explains. Amra Kadosh Baruch Hashem says here, Ani amarti ayasrim yisurim me'olam hazeh kidei sheyechezku zro som le'olam haba. I said, I decided to send them suffering in this world in order to strengthen their arms for the next world. That is, they will be whole and fully worthy of olam haba, because their sins are cleansed by a little bit of suffering in this world. And yet, but they just think evil of me for it. They don't see the good in their suffering. The Gemara now tells a story that touches on this idea that God will punish Klal Yisrael incrementally. The Gemara relates, Mishtabachlu Rabbi Avo Lemine Rav Safra Diodam Godlo. Rabbi Avo once spoke the praises of Rav Safra to these heretics, who, even though they were heretics, apparently they had respect for a great rabbi. He said he's really a great man, great scholar, and as a result, based on this endorsement from Yavo, they exempted Rav Safra from taxes for 13 years, as per the policy that men of the clergy, and Torah scholars, the rabbis, if it's a great rabbi, is exempt from taxes. Now, Yumachad, one day, these heretics who had made this decision, they met Rav Safra. They wanted to see, indeed, how much of a scholar was he. Amrulei, they asked him the following question. Ksiv, the pasuk in Amos says, Rak eschem yadati mikol mishpachos avadama. Shem speaks lovingly to Klal Yisrael and says, only you have I known. And in this context, yadati carries the connotation of love. I have love from all of the families of the earth. Pasuk continues, Al Kain, therefore, Efkot Aleichem as Kol Avonoseichem. I will hold you accountable for all of your sins. These heretic people asked Rav Safra, isn't this a strange pasuk? Vamand isle sisya barachame masikle. Someone who has like a pent up, resent, will he take that out on somebody he loves? This is not a way to behave. If someone claims, he loves this person, he wouldn't go and act with such hostility. So how does it make sense? Because he loves them, therefore he holds them accountable. It seems to be like a strict kind of justice. If Hashem loved his people, then the opposite. He would approach them, approach their sins with unusual mercy. Gemara says, Ishtik velo omer lehu velo midi. Safra was silent. He had nothing to say about this. He didn't have an answer. These heretic people reacted with violence. Romulei sudora b'tzavare. And they put a cloth around his throat. V'kametzarulei. They made Rav Safra to suffer. They were putting this cloth around his throat. But just then, Aser b'yavo v'shkechinu. B'yavo came to the scene. He saw what was happening. Amar lehu, amai metzarisulei. What are you doing? Why are you causing this distress to Rav Safra? Amulei, they said to B'yavo, v'lav amar lan da'adam gadalhu. So very annoyed here. Didn't you tell us that this is a great man, a big scholar, and yet v'lo yadal amemar lan pirusha da'i psuka? He couldn't even explain this pasuk. So we didn't deserve to be exempted from the taxes, so we feel we were defrauded here. Amar lehu, Revo said to them, he explained, that no, it's not a sign that he's not a scholar. For Amar, the Amar lehu, b'tanoi. When I told you he was a scholar, what I meant was he's a Talmudic scholar. He's fluent in all of the Tanaic teachings. B'kiroi, miyamar lehu, did I tell you he was particularly a scholar in the area of Tanakh and scripture? I didn't say that. The primary discipline of a Talmudic scholar is the Talmud, is the works of Shas, the rabbinic literature, the Torah Shebaal Peh branch of Torah, not necessarily to be an expert in all the different psukim of Tanakh. Indeed, Rav Safra is a great Talmudic scholar, is perfectly qualified for this exemption. So please release him, don't cause him any harm here. Amrulei, they asked Rabbi Avo about this, Maishna Tun the Adisim, but we know that you are a scholar in scripture as well, so why is that? Why are you different than Rav Safra in this regard? Amar lehu, Rav Avo said to them, Anan, since we are constantly in the company of you people. We have dealings with you. So knowing that you're going to try to refute different psukim in the Torah, therefore, aminan anafshin ma'ainan. We take it upon ourselves to gain a deep understanding and familiarity and fluency in the psukim, to be able to handle all of your different questions. However, inhu and lomaini, but other rabbis, other Talmudic scholars, being that they're not in the company of people like you often, therefore they feel no particular need to pursue this discipline, you know, to be a real expert in the psukim of Tanakh. That's the answer to your question. Then Amrulais, the Minim, then said to Rabbi Avoh, okay, leimalanat, you tell us what's the answer to our question. What does this mean that Hashem says, out of his love for Klal Yisrael, he therefore holds them accountable for their sins? Amar lahu Rabbi Avoh answered with a mashal. Emshal l'chamashal, I'll give you a parable. L'mad r'vedomer, what's it like? L'adam shenosha mishnei b'nei adam. Imagine a person who lent money to two people. Echad ohavo v'yechad sono. One of them was his friend, the other his enemy. It would be perfectly natural that ohavo nifram imeno me'at mat. With his friend, they'll make a payment plan. If you pay me a little bit every month, and eventually the whole debt will be paid off. Whereas, sono nifram imenu bevasachas. With his enemy, though, he wouldn't do him any such favor. Rather, as soon as the total amount is due, he's going to come and collect the entire amount all at once. So that's the idea here. In the Pasuk in Amos, the language of Efkod implies a little bit at a time. It is, indeed, out of Hashem's love for Klal Yisrael. He repays them when they sin. So Hashem repays them. As soon as it isn't let it accumulate, to ensure that they will be cleansed of their sins, and thereby they will merit Olam Haba, they will merit reward for eternity. Where brings another teaching about the judgment of Hashem, Am Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. My dechsiv, I don't understand the pasuk, in Parshas Vayera, where we see Avram Avinu, davens on behalf of the city of Sodom, that Hashem, you know, informed Avram, is about to destroy the city because of their sins. Avram pleads with Hashem that Chalila Lecha Me'asos Kadavar Hazeh Lahamis Tzadik Im Rasha. It would be Chalila, it would be a desecration to do this, to have the righteous die with the wicked. So Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana explains, what exactly was Avraham Avinu saying here? Amar Avraham Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said before Hashem here, Rabbonu Shalom, Master of the Universe, Chulin Hu Me'asos Kadavar Hazeh Lahamis Tzadik Im Rasha. Avraham was arguing that it would be a desecration to you, Hashem, if the righteous of the city were destroyed along with the wicked. People would question your justice. However, the Gemara questions, you know, the premise here, that God's retribution would never result in the righteous being punished along with the wicked below. But does this not occur? V'haksiv, right, says in Yecheskel, V'hichrati mimech tzadik v'rasha. Pasuk says, Hashem says, I will cut off the righteous and the wicked from you. So it seems that it's almost like as if the righteous, you know, could get caught up in the punishment of the wicked. The Gemara answers that that would only happen b'tzadik she'enu gamur. It's referring there to a person who is, you know, on a certain level of righteousness, but he's not, you know, completely righteous. It's only in that case where it would be relatively understandable how, you know, those people could be punished along with the wicked who are being punished. The Gemara asks further, Aval b'tzadik gamur lo. But you're saying then that, you know, but if the other person in question was a completely righteous person, he would never be punished along with the wicked. The Gemara says, "I v'yaksiv." It says in a different pasuk in Yecheskel, "Umi mikdashi tochelu." Pasuk there is describing some very harsh destruction. Hashem directs the angels of destruction there to begin with my mikdash, which simply understood would refer to the holy temple, the base of mikdash. But Vitani of Yosef taught, "Al tikri mi mikdashi." Don't read it, "Mi mikdashi my temple." Ella. Rather, we expound it as it's saying, start from my sanctified ones, namely, Elu b'nei Adam, shekiyumu es haTorah me'alef yatov, the most righteous of the people who have fulfilled the whole Torah from Aleph to Tav. We're loyal to the entire Torah. They fulfilled every mitzvah in the Torah. The Pasuk is saying in this time of terrible destruction, the destruction shall start from them. So it appears that even when you're dealing with, you know, people who are clearly, you know, thoroughly righteous and yet they are punished too, which appears not like was suggested above. Gemara answers that no, hasam nami, they're also, even when you're talking about those people who, you know, themselves adhered to the Torah, they observed the Torah on a very high level. However, kivin shayah biyadam limchos velo michu, since we're referring to people there who had the power to protest, and they failed to do that. They did not protest the bad behavior of their brethren. Havi lehu kit tzadikim she'inu gemurim. For the purpose of this, you know, harsh judgment, they're considered as righteous people, but not completely righteous, not without flaw. And so in that case, indeed, the tzaddik could be punished along with the rasha. But if you're dealing with a tzaddik who is truly a thoroughly righteous person, not even guilty of, you know, standing by, not trying to protest the evil behavior of the people around him, in that case, you know, Avraham Avinu says it would be a chulin, it would be desecration to Hashem if a person like that would be punished along with the wicked. And surely, you know, he should not be punished, Avraham Avinu was saying. Gemara brings another related teaching, Rav Papa Rami. Rav Papa pointed out what appears to be a contradiction for a ksiv. On one hand, it says in Tehillim, Kapitel Zayin, V'keil zoe mechal yom, God is angry every day, uksiv, but the pasuk in Nachum says, Lifnei zamo miyamot, who would be able to stand before the anger of God? Nobody could stand before God's anger. Well, if that's so, how is it that the world continues? If the other pasuk, the pasuk in Tehillim says that God has this zoim, is angry every day. Rapapa reconciles these psukim as well as lokash, it's not a problem. For the answer is, kan biyachit. Here in this pasuk in Sefer Nachum, where it says, no one could withstand the anger of God, it's referring to an individual who's not joined with the tzibor. He doesn't have the protection of being, you know, part of the whole community. So indeed, if yachid, you know, was judged individually, would not be able to withstand the anger of God. He would perish immediately. Kan b'tzibor. The pasuk in Tehillim, where it says that God, you know, does constantly get angry, you know, due to the sins of the people, that's talking about where the whole tzibor is being judged, the people are collectively being judged. And that's the key, you know, why people are not immediately destroyed if, you know, they anger God, because they're part of a community. And the community, you know, Klal Yisrael, each of us, so together we protect each other. In particular, if we, you know, pray together as a community, that is a great protection to shield us from the strict, you know, attribute of justice that we would not be able to stand up to. More on this topic, Tan Rabbanan, the Rabbanan Tan Nibraisa, Kael Zoim B'chol Yom, as we said, Hashem is angry every day. V'kamizamo, how long does this anger last for? Says the Raisa Rega. For just a moment, v'kamarega, how long exactly is this moment of God's anger? Says the Braisa, achas mechamesh rivo ushloshes alafim ushmona meas v'rabayim ushmona b'sha. This is a very tiny fraction, 1 over 53,848. Zuhi rega, this is the moment of God's anger. And says the Braisa about this moment of divine anger, v'ein kol b'riya yachol al-chavyin osorega. No creature is able to pinpoint exactly, you know, when this moment is, chutz mi bilam arasha. Except there was one person who was able to pinpoint the moment of divine anger, and that was Bilam arasha. Bilam, the wicked, of course, the prophet of the other nations, he was able to figure out, you know, when this moment was, and he, you know, tried to use that to his advantage to curse Yisrael, but of course, we all know that didn't work out. And the Chsiv Bey, we know that Bilam had this knowledge. The pasuk says about Bilam turning to Amid Beis, V'yodea das Elyon, describes Bilam as one who knew the mind of the one above. Now it seems to be saying that Bilam had this extremely high level of wisdom, which enabled him to be in tune with the workings of heaven, with the mind of God, as it were. But the Gemara finds this very questionable, that really Bilam was that smart. Gemara points out, Efshe das behemto lo haviyada. Could it be that if Bilam couldn't even outsmart his beast, his donkey, and you're telling me das elyon mi haviyada? Yet somehow he's able to probe the inner workings of heaven, the mind of the one on high. It just doesn't seem conceivable. The Gemara explains what it's referring to here. My das behemto lo haviyada. What are you referring to when we say he couldn't outsmart his own animal? So the Gemara relates, Sibidna de Chazule Davi Rachiv Chamare, when the messengers from Moab, you know, Balak's messengers who were sent to go and get Bilam, you know, be his entourage to bring him back to do Balak's biddings to curse Yisrael, they noticed that the Bilam was riding on a donkey. So they asked him about this. My Tamalur Chafta Susi, when I ride on a horse, a dignitary like yourself, you should be on a majestic horse, what are you on a donkey for? Amalahu. Bilam said to them, yes, I have a great steed, but I've put it to the marshland. It's grazing. It's not available. So I had to take my donkey instead. It was just at this moment, miyad, immediately, this is where that amazing event occurs where Bilam's donkey spoke. Tomer Hason, she opened her mouth, the donkey, and she said to her master Bilam, Halo anochi asonecha. But what do you mean? I am your donkey. Like, I'm your primary mode of transportation, as she will continue later, but before she can continue, Amr La, Bilam stopped her. He said, no, Latina Bam, don't listen to the donkey. I don't use her much, just to carry loads, Amr La. But the donkey went on and said, no, Asher Rechavta Alai. You have ridden on me. You yourself ride on me. I'm not just to carry your burdens. Bilam tried to dismiss this. Amr La, cry Baam, he said to his she-donkey, no, only once in a while, on some rare occasions, I will use you for riding. Amr La, but the donkey went on, Miyodecha Adayom Hazeh. From always and until this day, you've always used me, not just once in a while. I am your primary mode of transportation. Below, the donkey went on, so not only that, I even have provided you with intimate companionship. You ride me by day and night, you provide you with intimate companionship by night. It is, the donkey mentioned how Bilam will commit acts of bestiality with this donkey. How is this alluded to in the words of the donkey for Ksiv Hacha? Here, in the words of the donkey, the pasuk records, she said, Haskein hiskanti. I usually do this, of course, the narrative there saying how the donkey was veering off because there was that angel confronting them, which only the donkey perceived. The donkey said, do I always do this? Do I always behave like this? That you should hit me like this? Uksiv Hasam. Now, we find a similar language in the pasuk of Melachim Aleph, which describes how David HaMelech was constantly cold. And so they provided David HaMelech with a young, beautiful maiden, Avishag, and it says, "Usihilo sochenes, she shall be for him to warm him." So it's describing like an intimate, close contact. That's the intention here also. That's what the donkey as well is referring to when he uses this language. He was referring to the fact that Bilam has a very close relationship with me, knows me very well, he even uses me for bestiality. And in conclusion, the donkey, you know, won this debate. So the Gemara says, if Bilam couldn't even outsmart his donkey, surely he wouldn't be able to figure out Das Elyon. He wouldn't be able to use his own intellect to perceive the wisdom, the mind of the God, to attain this special knowledge. Therefore, the Gemara says, indeed, it's not what we're saying here. It wasn't that the Bilam was so smart that he was able to perceive this. Ela mai v'yodea Das Elyon. Rather, what is meant by v'yodea Das Elyon? He knew the knowledge of on high. It means he did know this one trick. Perhaps it was given to him through prophecy, so it wasn't his own like intellect. He figured out this one thing. He was able to pinpoint the moment of divine anger that was described earlier. Now we understand what the Navi Micha was saying. In the following pasuk, it says, "Ami zechorna mayatz Balak melech Moav." My people, you should remember what Balak, king of Moav, had sought to do. Ma'ano asa Bilam ben Beor. How indeed Bilam ben Beor answered his call. Minashitim ara Gilgal leman das tzidkos Hashem. You should remember this event involving Balak and Bilam, so that you will appreciate the righteousness of how kindly Hashem was to you during this whole episode of Bilam. And the Gemara explains this further. Amr Rabbi Elazar, Elazar said, Amr Lahen HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Hashem was saying to Yisrael, Yirami, my people, Re'u Kamet Tzedakos Asisim Echem. You should realize how many kind acts I did for you here. It is, Shelo Koasti Aleichem Kolosin Ayamim. The fact that I would not submit to Bilam's tactic, I would not allow myself to become angry for that whole period, all of those days where Bilam made these many attempts. Shim koasti aleichem, for if Bilam was at any point successful, and I did become angry, and you know, then it would become receptive to his prayer that you know I focus on your sins and I approach you with strict justice. Lo nishtayer mi ovdei kochav misoneim shel Yisrael sardapalit. There wouldn't be a survivor left from all of Klal Yisrael, and a euphemism is employed here. We don't even want to utter the words that you know, Klal Yisrael will be destroyed. So they're referred to as the idolaters, but it really is saying that Hashem not you know, thwarted Bilam's plans here and not allowed himself to become angry, then it would have had terrible consequences. Indeed, the entire nation would have been destroyed. And behind the Kamerle Bilam LeBalak, and this is the meaning behind what Bilam said to Balak when you know he was not successful in cursing Israel. And Balak complained, you know, what's going on here? You're supposed to curse them and you bless them. Bilam responded, Ma Yaakov lo kabo kel. How can I curse if God is not cursed? Ma Yizom lo zoham Hashem. How could I anger if Hashem has not become angry? So meaning it's referring to that even though Bilam made this attempt, and many attempts to capitalize on this moment of divine anger, Hashem didn't allow it to work, and therefore the scheme failed completely. The Gemara discusses this moment of divine anger further. How long is the moment of divine anger? Again, it's only rega, only just a moment. And how long is this moment? So the Gemara here seems to define it differently than we said above. Meimar said, Vitim Ravina, or some say it was Ravina, who said, rega kememre, the moment referring to here is the amount of time it takes to say the word rega, which would appear to be a little bit longer than the tiny fraction of time that we said above. The Gemara continues to discuss this. Where do we know this idea that for just a moment there is this divine anger, dechsiv? From the passing in Tehillim Lamed, it says there, ki rega be'apo chayim b'ritzono. It says his anger is just for a moment. Ritzono is, you know, having a desire, favoring the people, that's chayim for a whole lifetime. Or v'yibayseim, if you want me'acha, you can derive it from here, from the following pasuk in Yeshaya, which says, chavi chimat rega ad yavar zoam. Hide for a moment until Hashem's anger passes. So again, we see this idea that Hashem is angry for just a moment. The Gemara clarifies this further. Emes rasach. Okay, so when is the moment? When during the day does Hashem become angry for this one little moment? Amar Abaye, Abaye said, it occurs b'tlas shayik maisa, sometime during the first 3 hours of the day, that is, kichivara karbalta de tarnagolo. A sign for when it is this moment of divine anger is when the rooster's comb, you know, the red thing on the rooster's head, turns white, or at least, you know, pales from its, you know, full red color. This happens for just a moment and reflects the moment of divine anger. Gemara asks, kol shaita v'shaita michvar chivara. At basically any time, this is something that could happen, the rooster's comb could get more pale. Gemara answers, no, kol shaita isbe suraiki smaki. What could happen at any time is for the rooster's comb to get more pale, but still, part of the comb will retain that full red color. But ahishaita lesbe suraiki smki. At this particular moment, this moment of divine anger, the rooster's comb will not retain, you know, any part of the original, you know, full red color. So that's the sign of the moment of divine anger. The Gemara relates how Nemora once tried to use the sign. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Avi Mitzayr Le'ahu Mina Bikroi. There was this heretic who would not leave Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi alone. He kept on coming with his proofs from scripture, trying to buttress his heretical beliefs. It got to a point that Rabbi Shimon Levi had enough, so he decided, I'm going to try and curse this Mina, and that'll be the end of him. So one day, Nakat Tarnagola V'ukmi Ben Karei Diarsa. Rabbi Shimon Levi tied a rooster to the foot of his bed, and during the expected time, you know, during the first 3 hours of the day, Ayin Bey was looking intently at this rooster, waiting for that moment when the comb would turn pale. Savari thought, Kimat ahishaita, as soon as that moment arrives, I'll curse this Mina, this heretic person who will not leave me alone, who is harassing me. However, Kimat ahishaita nimnim, when the moment did arrive, Shimon Levi had dozed off. Amar, when this happened to Shimon Levi, realized, he said to himself, Shma Mina, it must be. I learned from this what happened here, the fact that I fell asleep just at the right moment. Must be the lavar achara lemevedachi. Must be this is not the right thing to do, even though this Mina is not a good person at all. But still, as the pasuk says in Tehillim Kuf Memhei, this is in the Ashrei v'rachamov al kol ma'asav ksiv. God has mercy in all of His creations, even if they are not exactly, you know, worthy creations. Suksiv. And also, it says in Mishlei gam anosh latzadik lotov. It's not a good thing for the righteous to go and punish. So it must be, it's not my place. This is not the appropriate course of action. And so he abandoned the attempt. He no longer continued to find that moment to go and curse the Mina. Gemara says more about this. Tana Mishmei Rabbi Meir. The Tana taught in the name of Rabbi Meir. It's during this, you know, the first 3 hours of the day when the kings rise, they get up, and they put their crowns on their head, and they bow to the sun, worshipping it as a god. This results in Hashem getting angry. This is the connection between the, you know, the first 3 hours of the day and why the moment of divine anger is particularly then, because it is at that time where the kings are starting their idol worship. So there's this moment of divine anger. Mark continues that as a result of this reality that sometime during the first 3 hours of the day, there's a moment of divine anger. Therefore, Amar Rav Yosef said, "Lo litzli inish tlosa de masafi bitlas shayi kamaisa de yuma biyuma kama de reishasa biyachid." Because of the moment of divine anger that we learned about, a person therefore should not daven the Musaf prayer, of course, the special additional prayer that we add when there were special additional offerings brought in the Beis HaMikdash for the various holidays, specifically the tefillah of Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. A person should not do that tefillah if he's not part of a minyan, he's davening by himself. He should not say the Musaf during the first 3 hours of the day. Why not? For Dilma Kivin the Mifkadina, perhaps as he recites the themes of the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, of course the Day of Judgment, which he mentions, the Malchias, Ichronos, Veshofros, the great themes of Hashem's kingship over the world, that he judges the world, remembers all the actions of man, and particularly merit is brought about through the shofar. So we are concerned that this will cause God to recall this individual's merits or lack thereof. And so Dilma Ma'ayni Be'ovdei, the actions, the deeds of this individual will be considered by heaven, V'dach V'lei Mitchi. And it might occur that as a consequence, since again this is a time where we have this moment of divine anger, maybe therefore this person's prayers will be rejected on this very fateful, extremely important day of Rosh Hashanah, when determining this person's fate for the upcoming year. Gemara wonders, Ziyachi de Tzibur Nami, based on this concern, seemingly, even if it's a whole Tzibur, a whole minyan, davening together, we should say, okay, they can't do the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah during the first 3 hours of the day when we have that moment of divine anger. The Gemara answers, no, the Tzibur Nefishas Chusei, if it's a whole minyan, a whole community davening together, have at least a quorum of 10 men, then that creates a special merit. They're being judged collectively, and therefore it is not a concern when the community is praying together. Only if the individual wants to pray on his own, then he should not do so, not say the Musaf during the first 3 hours. The Gemara wonders, Yachid, based on this, the Yachid did Safra Namilo. Seemingly then, an individual, if he doesn't have the protection of praying along with the Tzibur, we should also advise him against davening the Shachris, davening the morning Amidah prayer of Rosh Hashanah, in which you have the standard first three and last three brachos, and then you have the brachos where you're basically sanctifying the day of Rosh Hashanah. So why isn't it a concern even regarding that tefillah? The Gemara answers that regarding the Shachris tefillah, we're not concerned for kiven de ikka tzibur de komatz lo lokamitchi, since the prayer of Shachris has to be done during the first 3 hours. There's a limited time for it. Therefore, in all probability, the same time that this individual is, davening in his home, the Shachris Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, there will be a minyan somewhere in town that is reciting that same Tefillah at the same time. And so with respect to this issue of, we don't want the person to be davening all by himself so that he's being scrutinized as an individual, that's not going to be happening, for the Tefillah is occurring at the same time as the Tzibor's Tefillah, and so we're not concerned for that. Whereas the Musaf tefillah, that could be said all day. It's not just restricted to the first 3 hours. And so it's quite likely that this individual will be the only one in the whole city saying the tefillah Musaf Rosh Hashanah by himself. So that should be avoided. You shouldn't do that during the first 3 hours when there's this moment of divine anger, lest that, cause this person's deeds to be scrutinized during the moment of divine anger, and that could have, bad consequences for this person. One wonders about this. We're saying that there is a stricter level of justice during the first 3 hours, but this doesn't seem to square with something we said yesterday, which is that the Gemara described what God is occupied in at different periods during the day. V'omart, so you said yesterday, Shalosh Rishonos, during the first 3 hours of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Yosek B'Torah. Hashem sits and studies the Torah during this time. He's not judging the world during the first 3 hours. That comes during the next set of the 3 hours. So why are we particularly concerned about stricter justice during the first 3 hours? The Gemara answers, Epoch, that okay, must be that we have to reverse the teaching we learned yesterday, and really during the first 3 hours Hashem judges the world, and it's during the following 3 hours that Hashem sits and learns the Torah. The Gemara says, V'ibayisim, or if you want, you could say, Lalam lo tepach, you don't have to reverse the order of what Hashem is doing at each period during the day. And the answer to your question is, Torah dechsiv ba emes. Since the word emes is associated specifically with the Torah dechsiv, as we see in Mishlei, it says, emes kinei v'altim kar. You should go do whatever you have to. Go hire somebody if you need to learn the Torah, to acquire it, but don't profit from it, don't sell the Torah. So we see that the way the Pasuk refers to Torah is with the word emes. And therefore, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Osa Lifnim Yishur HaSadin. Therefore, Hashem does not have the option, so to speak, to go lefnim ishuras adin, you know, to forego the strict justice. No, Hashem must do the straight, you know, strict justice, whatever the truth is, you know, black and white. And so the fact that, as we said yesterday, Hashem sits and learns the Torah for the first 3 hours, that's actually perfectly consistent with what we're saying here. The first 3 hours is a time where a person has to be particularly wary that you might be a more stricter kind of justice during that time. Therefore, we have the halach above regarding Musaf of Rosh Hashanah during that time, if it's an individual. Whereas din, the loksi be'emes, by judgment, which is not referred to as emes. We don't say emes in that, you know, means judgment. So in the world of, you know, the justice of Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also lifnim yishur sadin. Hashem will sometimes go within the letter of the law, will not uphold the strict justice. Hashem will have mercy. So that's why it's no longer a concern after the first 3 hours. By the second set of 3 hours, Hashem's judging the world. In that process of judging the world, it is tempered with Hashem's infinite mercy. We're now reiterating some teachings that we had yesterday from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And then it adds some more gufa. So the text itself said, Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Yeshua ben Levi said, Mai dechsev, what is the meaning of the pasuk? Says, Asher anochi mitzavecha hayom la'asosim, shall keep the mitzvahs which I command you to do today. Rishon Levi darshened hayom la'asosim, today. It's in this world is where we're supposed to do the mitzvahs. Velo l'machil la'asosim, not for tomorrow. Tomorrow, once a person leaves this world, it's too late. This world is the world of doing. Hayom la'asosim, and today, this world is for doing. Velo hayom litoschar, this world is not for receiving reward for performing the mitzvahs. That's for the next world. We also learned yesterday from Yeshua ben Levi, kol mitzvah sheYisrael osam el mazeh, all good deeds, all the mitzvahs that Yisrael does in this world, ba'os me'idos osam lo'olam haba, the mitzvahs themselves, like performing those mitzvahs creates malachim, it creates things that actually testify for that person in the next world that he did all of those mitzvahs. Shenemar, as it says, we saw the pasuk yesterday in Yeshaya, they will be witnesses and thereby vindicate them, and they will say it's true. It is Yitnu Edeyam V'Yitzdaku Eli Yisrael. They will be witnesses and they will show their righteousness. It's referring to Yisrael. Their mitzvahs will testify on their behalf. Yishmu V'Yomru Emes. They will hear it and they will say it's true. Elu Avdu Kochavim. This will be the idolaters of the nations who will be forced to acknowledge that it's true. Indeed, Yisrael fulfilled the mitzvahs. Another teaching now from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Kol mitzvahs she Yisrael osen v'olam hazeh, all mitzvahs that Yisrael does in this world, ba'os v'tarfos osom li'ovdei kochavim li'olam haba p'neya. The mitzvahs, like it creates a force which comes along and beats the idolaters in their face in the world to come. Shenemar, as is indicated in the following pasuk, it says, "Ushemartem va'asisem ki hi chochmaschem uvinaschem li'enei o'amim." You shall guard, you know, perform the mitzvahs, for it is your wisdom, and it is binaschem, your understanding in the eyes of the nations. So we expound this pasuk by pointing out neged ho'amim lo nemar. It doesn't say that it'll be your wisdom neged, like in front of the nations, it says, in the eyes of the nations. So it alludes to what we said, that the mitzvahs will actually come along and beat the idolaters, people who opposed the Torah and its adherents, will come and beat them on their face in the next world. Another teaching from Yishmael Levi, said, Lo asu Yisrael es ha'egel, ela litein pischon peh lebalei tshuva. Only reason, the infamous sin of the egel, the golden calf, of course, you know, right in the aftermath of receiving the Torah on Sinai, then you know, somehow the Jews went and served a golden calf as an idol. How could it be? We know this generation was on an extremely high level. Shmuel Levi says, indeed, it doesn't make sense, but somehow Hashem decreed that the egel should happen. Why? In order to provide a pischon peh, which essentially means hope for those who are thinking about repenting, but are on the verge of giving up. They say, how could I do tshuva? I've done so many sins, it's, you know, beyond hope for me. That person can look to the egel and see these great people who are on such a level. They just received the Torah from God in Sinai, and then they went and served an egel, and yet they were somehow able to pick up the pieces and do tshuva, and that tshuva was accepted. That was the purpose of why the egel happened. And obviously this is a deep concept because, of course, you know, every person has free will. God would never compel a person to sin. But however, you know, that balances out. There was a purpose here. The egel should happen to provide hope for people in the future who are considering whether they should give up or do tshuva. Shenemar, for it says of the Jews at that time, by Matan Torah, the Jews who received the Torah on our Sinai, Hashem said about them, Mi yitein vayalavavam ze lahem liyirosi. If only where their heart is today, if only that could be forever. To fear me, kol yomim, for all days. So clearly Hashem was assessing the people, where they were, what was their spiritual stature. Hashem was saying they're on this exceedingly high level, they truly fear me, and yet they went and served an eagle. How does it make sense? How is it possible? The answer is, God decreed that this should be. And the Gemara says, similarly, this is very similar to the teaching of Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, who said, Lo David roi lo samaisa. David HaMelech was not a person who was fit for, it didn't make sense for a person like David HaMelech to be involved in the sin of Bathsheba. Of course, the very difficult account to relate it in Shmuel Beis, where it seems, from a simple reading of the passage, David HaMelech took this woman who had been married to a different man, even though, Chazal explained, technically, she ended up, retroactively, at least, she was not married to her husband at the time that David HaMelech had a relationship with her, but still, it appears to be an act that is far below somebody of the giant stature like David HaMelech. So Reb Shimon Yochai said, it's true, it doesn't really make sense. But Hashem decreed that it should happen. And then he says, regarding what we said above, V'lo Yisrael ruin lo samaisa. The nation of Yisrael was not a people, they were not on a level that they should have been able to stoop to this, to serve a golden calf as an idol. Reb Shimon Yochai explains these points further. He says, Lo David ruin lo samaisa. David HaMelech is not a person where logically, it should have been possible for him to come to such a sin with Bathsheba for Dichsiv. But it says in Tehillim, Kuftes, David HaMelech testifies about himself, V'libi chalal bekirbi, my heart died within me. And what that means is, David HaMelech no longer had a Yetzirah. He was in such a high level, he had mastered himself to a degree where he essentially didn't have an evil inclination anymore. V'lo Yisrael rein lo samaisa. And it's clear that Yisrael is also far above such a thing, like an egel azav, as we point out above. Dechsev miyitin vayalavavim zelam miyiros sikol yomim. Hashem himself said that if only they could forever be on this lofty level. So clearly, in both cases, the people who succumbed were not people who would ever expect that they would end up committing such a sin. Why do they do it? It says, this was by design. Hashem wanted these things to happen, continuing to Hayam and Aleph. Lomalach, to provide an eternal lesson to you, for all of us, for all time. Shim chate yachid. And first of all, if an individual might sin and he's feeling like he should give up, there's no hope, he can never do tshuva. Omrim lo, we say to him, klachitz a yachid. Go look to the example of another individual in history who sinned. David HaMelech himself is a person of immense stature, and he committed this sin that was far below him. Yet David HaMelech ended up doing tshuva, and that tshuva was accepted. And similarly, if the whole community sins, and the people become despondent, they'll never be able to do tshuva after the whole community has done this. Omrim lahu, will say to them, lechu etzel tzibar. But look to the example of your forefathers. The whole community, at the time of Matan Torah, went and served an egel, and yet they're able to achieve atonement for that. So never give up. Now, the Gemara explains why it was necessary to have both of these examples, seemingly, either one is a prime example where a very serious sin was committed by a person on a high level, and yet the person was able to do tshuva. So why do we need both examples? The Gemara explains it's tzricha, they're both needed. The yashmin and yachid, for if we only had the example of David HaMelech, where it was an individual who sinned, so then if the whole community sinned, they would say, okay, by David HaMelech, he was able to do repentance, mishum de lo mefarsim chatai, because this ultimately was a private sin. It was not a sin that was committed in public, and therefore it did not create a great chil Hashem, a desecration of the name of Hashem. So fine, David HaMelech was able to do tshuva. Avot tzibar, but if you're talking about a sin that was done by the whole community, the mefarsim chatai, where obviously it's going to be public knowledge what happened, that this whole community of people did this very grave sin, Emelah might say, since that creates a significant chil Hashem, it's a desecration of the name of Hashem, therefore, the people might say, no, in this case, if the community sinned, it's not possible to ever do tshuva, therefore we have the example of the eagle. V'yashmetzibar. On the other hand, if we only had the example of the egel, this communal sin of serving the egel, so an individual sins, he might say, okay, yeah, Klal Yisro was forgiven for the egel, mishum de nefishi rachmayu, because when they started to repent, they were repenting as a whole community, and so that created a great merit, that, you know, they were collectively coming to do tshuva, so that's, you know, very significant, aval yachid. But me, just the one little person, individual, the lo alimas chuse, who, you know, as just one person, I don't have any particular special merit, I'm just one person, say, malo. The person might get despondent and give up and say, I've done this sin, forget it, it's impossible, and give up, I can't do tshuva for this ever. Therefore, Hashem decreed there should be this example in history of David and Melech, where we see it's not true. Even in this case of David and Melech, with the sin of Bathsheba, he was able to do tshuva. Hence, we see why both examples are necessary. The Gemara brings another Amora who makes the same point about David HaMelech. V'haynu de Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar Rabbi Yonasan. He too said, "Mai dichsev." What is the meaning of the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, which says, "Neum David ben Yishai, neum hagever hukam al." Pasuk there says the words of David ben Yishai, the words of a man who was hukam al. So what does this mean, that David was hukam al? So he explains, Neum David ben Yishai shehekim ula shel tshuva. This is David ben Yishai, who through his sin with Bathsheba and through the example of his tshuva, established the efficacy of tshuva for all time. This provided people with the hope that it's always possible to do tshuva.
Been listening to realclaredaf.com. Visit us online for resources or to dedicate a shiur. To speak with Rabbi Wise, call 855-ASK-RCD1. That's 855-275-7231.